Hello and welcome everybody to the Future Farming Podcast. My name is Jonathan Marsden and I work in DEFRA with Janet Hughes and a range of colleagues developing the new ELM schemes. My focus is SFI, the Sustainable Farming Incentive. I lead on the content of the scheme, so the standards and what we'll be asking farmers to do, managing their land, managing their habitats for the benefit of wider society. So I'm joined here today by Martin Lines, who farms in Cambridgeshire, and we're going to talk about SFI and ELM schemes, Martin's philosophy for farming and how that can help us in delivering the Sustainable Farming Incentive and the wider package of ELM schemes. So Martin, do you just want to say a few words, introduce yourself?
Yeah, hello. So I'm a predominantly arable farmer in Cambridgeshire. We farm 165 hectares at home. But we also do some contract farming and rent some additional land. And we grow mainly combinable crops, but we're also looking at reintroducing the livestock within our farming system and sort of heading towards the regenerative farming system.
So what's led you to explore reintroducing livestock?
Because we created cover crops within our system. I can get them grazed by a new entrant who's building up his sheep flock, which then adds fertility into my soil, which is free, comes out the back of an animal. It's building soil health up and makes the soil more resistant. We're trying to close our nutrient loop. The last few years, we've greatly reduced our artificial fertilizer already. And I'm trying to focus around the net zero journey of removing fossil fuel systems out of production.
That's interesting stuff. And how's that integration gone? Have you seen an impact on yields? How's it gone from your perspective?
A big steep learning curve. We had livestock on the farm 20, 30 years ago, but never had sheep. We have to work with the shepherd because we're on heavy clay soil. So we have to be very careful grazing during the winter months, keep the sheep moving regularly. We haven't seen any great yield losses apart from where we've left the sheep too long in a field. And we're seeing a lot of benefits because it's reduced a lot of our input costs. So for me, on the whole, it's been a real benefit.
Could you go into a little bit of detail about those input costs, where you've seen the savings?
Yeah, by changing our system and introducing the cover crops and down now into zero till or min till in some places, we're using a lot less herbicides. We're now using half the fungicides we were. And this year, we've grown winter wheat and we haven't actually put any artificial fertilizer on at all. There's enough held within the crop and the soil from the buildup of organic material and the legumes we've put within our cover crops. So we scan the crops through tissue sampling and satellite imagery. And the science is the data is saying it doesn't need any inputs. So that's a real positive. That saves me an awful lot of money.
But particularly this year.
Yes.
Are there any big lessons to learn from that that would perhaps help other growers that are just starting this journey? Are there any particular pitfalls to avoid?
Most of us understand most of our soils and our individual fields, and many fields are in different places. So don't go rushing into it, but where you still have a field that has a bit of drainage problems or it's a slightly different soil, they're the ones you need to take a little more care of, but you will have other fields that you can move forward. And I really think it's that attention to detail and work with the livestock holder, you know, if that's your own or bringing livestock from other people. I mean, my journey will be, we put a herbal lay in this year and we're now planning to add cattle into the system. So we can use those as a fertility builder. And then where we cut some hay and some wildflower margins that we have to cut because we're in some stewardship, we can feed that product during the winter.
Excellent. And it sounds to me awfully close to organic farming, but you've not described yourself as an organic farmer.
I'm definitely not an organic farmer, and we still use pesticides, but a lot less. We haven't needed to use insecticides for, there'll be 9 years this spring, because what we recognise, the habitat we deliver on our farms, because I'm in, well, I've just finished my HLS and ELS, I'm waiting to go into a new stewardship. That biodiversity area has helped with predating insects to eat my aphids. It's increased pollinators. I've not needed to use insecticides. And it's that kind of journey for me. And I try and help other farmers to see that this joined up approach across the landscape use for many is really delivering productivity benefits.
And I suppose that's just worth exploring a little bit. You use the word productivity and, you know, this year with everything that's happening around us, there's been a lot of focus on food production. It's often characterised that farmers either need to do food production or do the environment. You seem to be saying that we can do both at the same time.
Very much so. And both go very much hand in hand. the more I focused on improving soil health, the more resilient and better my crops grow with less inputs. The more I focus in delivering targeted, careful, managed pieces of environmental delivery in the right places across the farm is adding benefits to yield production and predation, but also protecting where I farm against watercourses and other things. So for me, it's having that hand-in-hand approach. I work with nature and make nature work for me to make me more profitable.
So how can DEFRA help? A bit of a loaded question.
That is just rather. I'm a farmer who's been doing stewardship schemes for probably 20 years. It's the transition into what's coming. Actually, there's quite a lot of information available on the DEFRA website around SFI, what's coming, but it's the integration and the further detail come together and look at everything in a whole farm system approach. Lots of things within SFI are individual actions, but how does that complement everything else that goes on the farm? So I'm always looking for that longer term plan of how do I stitch things together? Because as a farmer, I'm planning 5, 7, 10 years ahead.
Yeah, we're very conscious within DEFRA of the role that the basic payment scheme, BPS, has played in the security of farm businesses. But we're in a new place. BPS is going to be phased out over the next 6 or 7 years. Those changes have already started taking place. We recognise that there's a need for us to be able to provide information that allows farm businesses to plan in the medium and long term. We need to be able to set out the trajectory here. And we won't have all the numbers straight away because some of this stuff we're still developing. But the first elements of that change are coming on stream in the form of the first bits of the sustainable farming incentive. This year, we're introducing 3 standards: arable and horticultural soils, improved grassland soils, and then a moorland assessment. It's a rolling window application. It's open. There will be no closing day. You can apply as a farmer when it suits you, when it suits your business, when you've got the time. But what we've also published here, and this is addressing this need, Martin, for people like yourself to be able to plan, we've published what we call a roadmap in terms of the standards that we are looking to introduce over the coming years, add those into the sustainable farming incentive. Next year, in 23, the plan is we'll introduce additional standards looking at nutrient management, integrated pest management. So what can we do to reduce the role of pesticides without impacting crop yield? And at the moment, we're looking to also introduce a hedgerow standard next year, all of which will have payments in addition to what we're offering with the soils. Then in the future, 24, we'll expand that offer again, looking at what we can do to protect watercourses and streams and rivers. What we can do for now, the big complicated word is farmland biodiversity. I like to frame it more as the birds and the bees, and also stuff to do with our unimproved grasslands. They are vitally important, and in the post-war intensification of agriculture, which was good, it fed the nation, but we lost so much of our species-rich grasslands. So we'll look to introduce something in 24 into the scheme to help protect those and get them better managed. And we're also in 24 looking to introduce an agroforestry standard, which blends producing food with forestry production. In the past, it's been a black or white or a binary decision. It's either farmland or it's woodland. Agroforestry allows us to do both, and we're just exploring all that at the moment. And then following on from that, after 24, look to introduce an organic standard, do more with on-farm woodlands, specialist horticulture and orchards, and dry stone walls and heritage. So that's the projected roadmap, if you like, for the sustainable farming incentive. Adding to all of that, bringing in elements of the local nature recovery scheme, which will build on the best bits of countryside stewardship, and also the first applications for the landscape recovery scheme. All of that is trying to set out the trajectory for the support that'll be available in the medium term to help farmers start that journey on planning and adjusting their businesses. Martin, do you want to ask me some questions about that? So sort of really tease out the detail.
Yeah, so with seen previous policy, and I think it's taken many farmers, and myself included, quite a journey to recognise it's a co-design. Many farmers are working with DEFRA to create this, and we haven't got the answers for a year or two, but we have a roadmap. And also, BPS is being slowly reduced over the next 7 years, and then more options are coming in. And for me, as someone who's going into countryside, hopefully going into countryside stewardship, it's that opportunity to slide into the local nature recovery part of ELM, and how do I deliver my local targets? And then how do I stack the SFI and local nature recovery and any other scheme I can get funding for? And it's just defining that we can't have double funding, but that layering system, and hopefully the computer system we get to use, can allow us to do that.
And that's absolutely the ambition. So SFI, farmers like yourselves will be able to have your SFI agreements on the same pieces of land as your countryside stewardship agreements, and in the future, your local nature recovery agreements. We've developed the IT in such a way, clearly we can't pay for the same thing twice. We've developed the IT in such a way that if you've got countryside stewardship option on a particular bit of your farm that is essentially doing the same thing as what we would be asking for SFI, the area of that option and the payment is removed automatically from your SFI application. So as you apply online, the system will do all the maths for you. So there's no risk of inadvertently claiming for the same thing twice. We've tried to make that as simple and as straightforward as possible. In terms of stacking with SFI on top of LNR agreements, or LNR agreements on top of SFI, we are now developing the content of those two schemes absolutely together. It's the same working groups, the same groups of farmers that are developing the SFI options, for example, Moorland, and they're also developing the LNR options for Moorland at the same time, so that we can absolutely make sure the two schemes fit together and nothing's falling between the cracks, but equally we're not inadvertently going to trip over each other. What we're really looking into now at the moment is, for the last few years, we've described these schemes as separate schemes. Here and now, we've been talking about sustainable farming incentive and local nature recovery. This could all just be what we call a single service. In many ways, describing them as separate schemes is an artificial divide. As a farmer, you want to do good stuff for the environment and get rewarded for it. If you can just log on to a single place and look at what's available to you in that area that addresses your local priorities and that fits with how you want to farm, we needn't describe that as two separate schemes. It could just be one single service, as we call it, that allows you quickly and simply to identify what's available to you in your area, on your farm, on your land, and apply quickly and simply to get funding for that and get paid promptly every quarter. We're putting a lot of effort within DEFRA at the moment into seeing if we can make that single service approach work, because there's benefits in a lot of places for that.
And me as a farmer, maintaining the landscape and the environmental features has a cost to me. And if I can get some public support in delivering better quality and more of it, that's a huge benefit. And I think the way you've just described that, that sounds like me going through a shop with a basket and picking up the items I want and popping them in my basket and then checking out at the other end, which I think should be really welcomed by many farmers to help stack earning potential on those features you have on a farm.
That's the intention. I don't think we'll quite be on the same footing as Amazon with baskets and things, but the ambition is there.
I think for many farmers, we've been used to a single application for a BPS. And for many, it's going to take a little while for particularly these SFI soil standards and grassland standards is work out which action at what level to put in each individual field. And I think many farmers need to start preparing themselves now by getting hold of the information, sitting down and looking at their farm and which one of the different actions at different levels they can label onto the field for the next year or two.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And you touched on something really important there, that within SFI, there's different levels of payment. We refer to them as levels of ambition. And it's proved very valuable from the learning that we've got from the SFI pilot. Everybody's business and everybody as people, we're all in different places with this. you know, there are people like yourselves, Martin, that you've been in stewardship, as you said, 20 years. You're fairly familiar with a lot of the type of stuff that we are going to be paying for. You'll be able to come in at those higher levels of ambition because you've got confidence, you've got understanding, but not everybody's in that plate.
And by
having those different levels of payment, the introductory level and the intermediate at the moment for the soils, we're trying to find a place for everybody in the scheme. People can put their foot on the first rung of the ladder. And if you find, well, actually, this isn't too bad. And actually, I've had another look at the intermediate level. I think I probably could do something with cover crops. There's always an area of land that perhaps I'm a little bit late drilling for whatever reason. It doesn't perhaps yield just as well because, well, actually, it might make a bit of sense to pop that land down to a cover crop, move it to spring cropping. And from our perspective, we're getting the soil protected over winter. And if there's additional money in the intermediate level of the arable soil standard for growing those cover crops, there's an extra income stream there for the farmer. If people over time look at that and think, well, actually, I can make that work, then there'll be the ability within SFI to change your agreement on an annual basis so that if you've gone in at the introductory level and you find you're getting on all right with it, you'll be able to move up to the intermediate level. So we're trying to be flexible around this and give people the opportunity, not a sort of top-down, perhaps as we have been in the past with the EU rules, this is how you must manage your land. This is about us putting a framework in place that rewards people for sustainable farming. And the more sustainable, the higher the payment. It's as straightforward as that. We farm at home, and I am all too aware of the financial pressures many farmers are under. And actually, those financial pressures, they can drive short-term decision-making that often isn't in the best interest of the environment. And what we're trying to do with SFI is position it so that the marketplace will be driving that short-term decision-making. So the marketplace might drive growing of continuous cereals. But in the longer term, we know that's not good for the environment. And that's where SFI can step in. There's a market failure there, and we can support, for example, the growing of cover crops to improve soil health. Because we know that stuff takes time, and that's why the marketplace fails. If SFI can provide that incentive, then we can start addressing these long-term declines in farmland biodiversity, soil health, etc.
As you said, many farmers are in very different places along a changing journey, and it's the ability to take that first step, and some may take strides over the next year or two. Hopefully, as an industry, as farmers, we can work together with each other and support each other, because there's nothing better than going on a farm visit and look around somebody else's and learning, but also seeing what other people are up to. So I think there's a real opportunity going forward of the whole of the agricultural industry and supply chain to get behind some of this and help farmers go on that journey.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad you brought that up, because I mentioned this isn't about DEFRA telling farmers how to manage their land. That's not what this is about. And that's perhaps how it has been in the past. We want a partnership with farmers. We want a partnership with the industry. We want to work together so that we can produce a really vibrant agricultural industry that's at the leading edge of lots of innovation, a really vibrant agricultural industry that's delivering step changes in the natural environment and sustainability, and a really vibrant industry that is financially viable and responding to what the marketplace wants in terms of food production. This is about a partnership, and we're offering heaps and heaps of flexibility about how to implement our soil standards. There's guidance there. We're putting an awful lot of trust in farmers in terms of, you know what's best for your land, your farm. It's up to you how you increase the level of organic matter on your arable soils, for example.
A lot of that is welcomed. As many farmers, you're always a little bit hesitant how we interpret these options to be delivered. But we're going to have to wait and see, and hopefully it rolls out smoothly, which I'm sure it will. But where we do have teething problems, because there will always be things that are new, that we can all work together. We've got change coming. We're moving away from the BPS. We've got to get this moving so farmers start that journey. And hopefully there's a good take up to get this rolled out.
Absolutely. And we've got ambitions regarding uptake, but we know it's early days, and we know not everybody's going to come charging in straight away. We're realistic about that. But the best thing that we can do in terms of encouraging uptake is to have a simple, straightforward application process that works. The money starts flowing quickly when it should. We're doing as much work as we can to make sure that those payments flow quickly, promptly. As I mentioned, SFI is going to be paid quarterly. You won't need to submit a claim every quarter. The money will just be paid. There will, at the end of each year, be an annual declaration that you just need to sign to confirm you've done what you should. But we're trying to make this as burdensomeless, if that's the real word, as possible for everybody involved. Those types of forms, they don't just create paperwork at the farm desk. They also create paperwork for RPA. And if we can minimise it for everybody, everybody's a winner.
Good to hear. As farmers, most of us, the least amount of time we have to fill in paperwork, the better. We also need to do some. And the connectivity of many farmers in rural locations is challenging. So the least amount we have to go to a local library or go to somebody else's house to log in, that's also a benefit.
Yeah. Simplicity is key for everybody involved in this.
I welcome the direction. Implementation is the next step. I sit here reading. I've got your website open. I'm reading the standards that are currently published. I can see a lot of opportunity in what we can deliver. And that's talking as a farmer who's already been doing some of that. But I also can relate that to farmers who haven't done any at all. And most of those actions make good farming practice. So it's things we should be doing and we can do over the next couple of years.
Good. That's good news. You've touched on co-design. And that's a nice buzzy word. And let's just explain what that means in a little bit more detail. In developing the content for the schemes, the standards themselves and the LNR options, we're working with, at the moment, I think about 150 farmers are involved in various working groups, helping us develop the standards and the LNR options. We've been doing for quite a few years now, tests and trials with groups of farmers that are looking at various aspects of scheme design. I think about 3,500 farmers have been involved in tests and trials up to date. And we've got the SFI pilot that we opened up last year with just short of 1,000 people managing their land there. They've got SFI agreements. They've got access to 8 standards at the moment. Those include the soil standards, but there's some other stuff that we're testing at the moment. And we're learning an awful lot from those pilot farmers. They're very good at telling us where we're not getting it right. And that's incredibly valuable to us. So those of you that have been following the development of the soil standards, if you look at the soil standards in the pilot and compare them to what we're now pushing out into the live service for everybody, they're significantly more straightforward. It's very clear now. We've managed to crystallize the soil standards down to the key things that are important that farmers do. And we've also tried to bring some clarity around what is an introductory level of ambition and what's in the intermediate. So again, simplicity, clarity. We got an awful lot of feedback regarding the guidance and everything that we produced regarding the pilot and the standards. It was quite complicated to follow, and we've learnt an awful lot from that. And that's a far more straightforward process now. So it's clear if you're looking for advice on a particular action, this is where it is. And that guidance tells you exactly what it is you need to know. So we've learnt a tremendous amount from the pilot.
I think most farmers welcome that opportunity to be at the beginning of that making and building it, because we've all had experience before where we've entered into schemes that have obviously not been written by somebody who's practical trying to deliver those options. And I think that change of direction hopefully will really help farmers understand what they can do and simply navigate the system to get the best they can for themselves out of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
How do we stack? How are we going to differentiate between what's going to be funded privately and what's publicly funded? If I'm a farmer who's been paid by a water company to do a cover crop, can that be stacked? Or has that got to be declared separately?
Okay. Now, it's a really, really good question. And we know a lot of these private schemes are becoming ever more popular. The position we're in at the moment is, from an SFI perspective, if there is private investments coming in, that's fine by us. So we're not going to ask people to take land out of SFI if you're getting funding through a carbon credit scheme or anything like that. And we've adopted that position because it's early days with the whole private finance thing. It's evolving what we would refer to as an immature market. There's lots of different ideas coming out. And there's a danger here that if we force farmers to choose between our schemes and those private schemes, we could stifle the market. We're just at that point on the innovation curve where there's loads and loads of different ideas coming out. We want that to evolve. So at the moment, for SFI, if you're being paid by a carbon credit scheme to do something with soil, that's great. It won't affect your SFI agreement. You will need to check with whatever private scheme you're looking to engage with, because they may have got some of their own rules. So there's a check that you as a farmer would need to do there. As we move forward into the future, and I don't know how far into the future, because as I say, this is evolving territory. If there's a marketplace develops, for example, that rewards farmers that have got high levels of organic matter in their soil for carbon reasons, and that market has stabilized and is mature, then that removes the need for DEFRA to step into that place like we are doing at the moment through the soil standards, where we're encouraging people to apply organic matter to their soil. The marketplace is starting to address that environmental concern. So there's no rationale then for DEFRA to intervene in it. But we can't say when that will be, because we don't just know how these markets are going to evolve.
Other thing that may be interesting to people, those farmers who currently don't receive BPS but could do actions to improve soil and hedgerows, when will that be their opportunity to join and get access to the ELM public money for public goods?
You're quite right. At the moment, the scheme is, the eligibility for the scheme is limited to those who are eligible for BPS. And there's some pragmatic reasons why we've gone down that route, just in terms of making sure we can stand up a service without burdening the RPA with lots of new registrations. But you're absolutely right to highlight that that's a short-term position. It's for pragmatic reasons, and we are looking to move away from that. Currently, we've penciled in to open up the eligibility requirements around 2024, particularly for those farms to less than 5 hectares, which is the current BPS rule. I've mentioned a date there. It's not confirmed. There's heaps of work we need to do in just terms of understanding the demand that might create on the system. But it is the intention to open this up to all land managers when the time is right.
It's right, because there are many farmers who haven't had access to BPS, being a smaller unit or being a horticulturalist or something that hasn't been claimable in the past.
Yeah.
And for the ability for them to have a level playing field so they can get the same kind of reward for delivering a public good as their neighbour who's traditionally had public support. I think that's an important step, that we level the playing field so everybody who farms and manages that landscape can equally get support in delivering the public goods that society wants delivered.
Completely agree.
We understand ELM is going to be 3 pots. What kind of relationship will each one of those pots do, and what are the main outcomes of those 3 areas within ELM?
Yeah, so the 3 pots, the 3 schemes that we're working on at the moment are the Sustainable Farming Incentive, SFI. We've got local nature recovery, and then we've got landscape recovery. And I suppose if I just explain a little bit about why those schemes are different. So Sustainable Farming Incentive, first of all, is aimed at agricultural and horticultural land. So land that is growing food. We're looking for wide-scale uptake. We've set ourselves an ambition, ultimately, by the time we get to 27, 28, of around 70% of land being in SFI. We're looking to address environmental issues, our 25-year environment plan targets and our net zero obligations. With activity in SFI, it doesn't need to be targeted. Any farmer anywhere in the country, you can do this and you will make a positive difference. And because it's such wide-scale uptake, it's got to be relatively straightforward. We haven't got a massive team of advisors that can go out there and support all of this. It's going to have to be the commercial advisory sector that supports. So it's got to be simple stuff that's easy to understand and easy to implement. That's SFI. Local nature recovery is more targeted. Different areas of the country, there are different environmental targets, different environmental needs that we need to address. So LNR will pick up where there is stuff that needs to happen in particular areas of the country in a particular way. So it'll be targeted. Also, it's likely to be perhaps where we're recreating a species-rich grassland or re-wetting a moorland. that type of stuff, where there's going to be need to be a lot of advice and support needed to make sure that we get the right outcomes and farmers are capable and able to implement this and they feel supported in doing so. And that's really the remit of the local nature recovery scheme, those more targeted, bigger interventions. And then finally, there's landscape recovery. This is slightly different. What I've described so far be fairly familiar to those of you, particularly yourself, Martin, if you've been in the schemes for 20 years. Landscape recovery is different. This is where we're looking at really quite big changes across quite big areas. So this won't be a scheme in the way we've described and are used to. This is going to be more, I suppose, like projects where a group of farmers in an area will come together, or a very large estate, or perhaps a utility company if they're managing moorland and things like that. Groups of farmers, groups of partners will come together at a significant scale to deliver a really big change to that environment. That's how the three schemes are positioned.
So we currently, through BPS, have our cross compliance. Will the SFI standards be running alongside that? And will we still need to be delivering our cross compliance obligations?
If you're claiming BPS, you'll need to honour your cross-compliance obligations. The SFI standards will build on top of what's been asked for as part of cross-compliance. As we go forward, as BPS reduces, then there becomes a question mark in the future regarding the role of cross-compliance, but we're not there yet.
When we look at these individual SFI actions on their own, the values within them are not that large. Am I correct in understanding that as we have more BPS taken away, we'll have more SFI standards coming with different rates in, so we can stack them to make a larger pot that actually complements our farming systems?
That's exactly the philosophy, Martin. So yeah, people have looked at SFI payment rates for the soils, you know, the £20-40 a hectare mark, and saying, well, you know, it's not worth me getting out of bed for. But that's just the beginning. And we talked earlier, didn't we, about the additional standards that we're looking to bring in the future. They will bring with them additional payments. I suppose one way of looking at this is that SFI is a sort of modular scheme, and you can choose which standards you go into. As your BPS payments are reduced, more SFI standards become available, and the money that's available through SFI will grow as we add additional standards into the scheme. In the past, we've often framed this argument, it's either environment or food. As a farmer, I suppose it's a question to you. You look at what we're asking you to do in the soil standards. Does that inhibit you in producing food, or will that help you in the future in producing food?
For me, when I look at these standards, it helps me build resilience into my soil. Many of those actions I'm already currently doing, they are, as I see, best practice. And why wouldn't I not want to keep my soil covered during the winter to stop my soil being lost? So it's actually encouraging farmers to make sure they're doing it, get it in place. And I actually will see a long-term benefit in our food production now, but also in the future. And that resilience will build within our businesses.
Good. That's the SFI philosophy, is working with farmers to grow businesses, grow the environmental positives that come out of farming.
So enforcement, I've heard it come across that the role will be to help identify where there's small failures and give you the opportunity to improve some areas that may be a bit more critical.
There are lots of farmers out there that are trying, they're doing their best. They might fall slightly the wrong side of a line. And it's those farmers in the past where the EU rule gates opened and all hellfire and damnation has descended. And that just makes people disgruntled. As we go forward, those people that are just falling the wrong side of the line, what people need in that scenario is help and support. Yeah. They need the opportunity to put it right, not get a big fine. And that's absolutely the approach that we're looking to take with enforcement as we go forward. There are the wrongdoers. There are those that deliberately go out to defraud. But for those people that are genuinely trying and they just need encouragement and support, that will come and will give people the opportunity to put right wrongs before we start reclaiming money and things. Well, Martin, thank you for your time this afternoon. We've had a really, really useful chat and it's been wonderful to talk to you. And I hope you found it a useful conversation as well.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity.
And thank you to our listeners. We'll wrap up this edition of the Future Farming Podcast. We look forward to your company again on future editions. Thank you very much for listening.
Jonathan, if you ever go our way, do come and pay a visit. I'd love to show you around.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Martin.